All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you on this lovely Wednesday. Let's get to our headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. You always pay less with your Pricito at Doral Kia. Visit us at Doral Kia or at DoralKia.com. The Ravens let go of John Harbaugh yesterday. He has reportedly received interest from several teams interested in hiring him. So we'll see what happens there. Of course, the Super Bowl champion Ravens coach let go after 18 seasons. And of course, many a years ago, Stephen Ross went after Jim Harbaugh. And that was when he had coach Tony Sparano still under contract. He got busted pursuing Jim Harbaugh because people tracked his flight. And then he didn't get Jim Harbaugh because it was such a bad look that Harbaugh was interested in somebody's job. Mind you, I think he was at Stanford at the time. He was interested in somebody else's NFL job. It was a bad look. It was uncouth of Jim Harbaugh to want that job. And it was certainly a bad look that Stephen Ross wanted to get a coach while he had a coach still under contract. And he never got Jim Harbaugh. And then there was this very awkward press conference in the Dolphins boardroom, which when I was with 790 The Ticket at the time, I ended up going to that with our lead reporter at the time, Josh Friedman. And I just remember looking at the late Tony Sparano's legs. I could see Brittany. I was on the side of the boardroom table. I just remember his legs twitching the whole time because it was this weird situation where he got an oopsie-daisy, I'm sorry contract extension with his boss and his, I guess at that point, former friend and coworker, Jeff Ireland. Super weird. So one has to wonder, with Mike McDaniel kind of hanging in the wind here, Mike McDaniel, it was reported on Monday by NFL Network that the expectation is, yeah, he's going to be back as Dolphins head coach. And there's been a lot of that smoke that's around the Dolphins, but yet we don't have an official announcement from the Dolphins. The Dolphins are interviewing general manager candidates, I assume, as we speak, because they were doing them Tuesday and today virtually. And Mike McDaniel revealed in his press conference that he's meeting with Stephen Ross at some point later in the week. Mike McDaniel was supposed to meet with Tua, I believe, yesterday. So, and now you're starting to get reports that the Dolphins are in touch. Josian Anderson reports that the Dolphins are in touch with John Harbaugh's camp. And by my count, Mike McDaniel's still the coach. So are we going to have a repeat? Hard to believe that they would do that again.
I mean, if you're already in touch, I think that's exactly what you're already doing it. That's that. And if that's the case, just cut Mike McDaniel loose. In my opinion, he should have been fired on Monday already, as it is. So the fact that you're retaining, even the thought that you're entertaining retaining him is crazy.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. Because you're just in a spot where this isn't going to go away, right? Like, we're going to get all these reports about the GMs and who has ties. And even one of the guys that they had with the Chargers, I think it was Chad Alexander, I think this guy's name. All their names escape me. I got to be honest with you. But he like has a past with John Harbaugh, both Harbaughs actually, and actually seems like he's got a pretty established resume, you know, with working with the Ravens, apparently was in the front offices that took the good Jets, not the terrible Jets. That's what they always say though with the candidates. They don't talk about the bad Jets, only the good Jets. And then he worked the last 2 years with the Chargers. So I'm just, you know, I just don't know what the benefit is of getting rid of McDaniel, what the benefit is of like leaving McDaniel hanging in the breeze. Because, okay, worst case, you don't get John Harbaugh. And you're losing a coach that seems pretty flawed. I don't know. I think I'm at this spot with the Dolphins where, like, look, you should be allowed to put the full court press on your guy. But also, this is now the Dolphins pursuing a coach has blown up in their face multiple times in Stephen Ross's tenure. I don't really think that you should go about this sneakily because you're either A, going to get busted for tampering, or B, piss off a coach who you still have here, which, yeah, I know the responsibility. Who cares? He's got the job. He's going to get handsomely paid. I don't know. How many times are you going to fall for that circus?
Yeah, it's just, the fact is like, if you're, the only reason why you keep Mike McDaniel is because you couldn't get John Harbaugh, then you've already failed in your endeavors to become a better team.
It's also just not going to be, like, again, if, imagine the Dolphins even wanted to entertain that with John Harbaugh, and they're like, well, what, are you guys getting rid of Mike? And he's like, well, you know, only if you, you give us a, like, he's not going to interview when Mike McDaniel still got a job. I think, did Jim do that with the Vikings too? I don't recall, where I feel like he got a little heat for that with Minnesota too.
I feel like there was some controversy around his, you know, going to the NFL and him talking to teams that had head coaches.
I feel like that was a little bit when he was still with Michigan, right?
Mm-hmm. It definitely was. Yeah.
But they got, but and he probably like, and that was part of the thing with the Sperano thing. Like they just got, I forgot, maybe it was Jeff Darlington who exposed the plane. I think back in the day, he's like, you guys can black. It was like, it was in the infancy of Twitter too. You know, it was like 2011, I think. So people were like following this thing on social media. They're like, well, this is where he's. His plane is going. This is where he's at right now. And you're just like, what?
And that was 2011. Can you imagine what that's going to look like in 2026?
Oh, man. It's going to be crazy. It would be crazy. So, yeah, I just think that, look, if you're interested in somebody else, you're already telling you I'm not that interested in my coach.
Exactly.
Move
on. Just move on.
Just move on. There's nothing wrong with it. This, it was a valiant effort. It's not even what you wanted in the first place, right? You wanted Sean Payton with a side of Tom Brady. You wanted to try and bring yourself out of mediocrity. You weren't happy with the Flores era. You weren't happy with the Tua era. You didn't get the Deshaun Watson thing because he was a creep. I think that he's entitled to start fresh. He tried to make it work. This was his plan B all along anyway. You gave it 4 years. You spent a whole lot of money. You got no playoff wins to show for it still. So I don't know what you owe him other than the money that's on his contract. Like, other than the money, what are you going to leave him hanging in the breeze? Let him go out. Because at that point, are you going to keep him hanging in the breeze? And like what? And then maybe Tomlin gets let go if he loses in the first round. And you're like, oh, well, now we're interested in Tomlin. No, let him go. You're not that interested in him as your coach anymore. Mm-mm. You know, the GM's probably not that interested in having him as the coach anymore. It seems silly to keep hanging around here like this. You're almost... And the Dolphins are kings of this. They did this to Tua with the Watson thing. I remember like Tua going up to those podiums and be like, I don't not feel wanted. You know, it was super awkward. And this Dolphins team just leads the league in awkward. Just if you want somebody else, nothing wrong with that. You're totally entitled to do that in sports. Just pay the man what he's owed and let him go on his merry way.
Exactly.
Nobody's going to be upset about it. I promise you.
If anything, everybody's going to be happy about it because it just shows a different initiative. And I think... it's a different mindset if you don't go for a new coach and you keep Mike McDaniel.
Mm-hmm.
You're setting the tone already for what next season's going to be like.
Right. Lame duck. It's going to feel lame duck.
It is. It's going to be like there's going to be no anticipation. There's no matter what moves you make moving forward player-wise, no one's going to care because you still have the same head coach that we've had issues with that has proven absolutely nothing to any of us. So... yeah, it's just, like I've said, I expected Mike McDaniel to be fired on Monday, and then Stephen Ross came out and was, like, hinting at, you know, Mike McDaniel was going to be in the conversations of what GMs that he wanted, and I found that to be insane. And then now you want to go for John Harbaugh while Mike McDaniel's still your sitting head coach and you haven't done anything about it. It's a bad look. But, I mean, are we shocked? This is what the Miami Dolphins do.
Not shocked at all. We'll take a break. Talk about an organization that's got their bleep together. That's the Florida Panthers. Steve Goldstein, your voice of the Florida Panthers on the television broadcast. He drops by next. Ah, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Took a couple ones on the chin last night. Your Heat got smoked by the Timberwolves, 122-94. Panthers, they started off their road trip. And they fell to the Toronto Maple Leafs 4-1. That's okay. They're back at it on Thursday. Very busy sports night on Thursday night. The Panthers will be taking on the Canadiens at 7 o'clock. And we talked to the voice of your Florida Panthers on the television broadcast alongside Randy Muller. They do an excellent job. Steve Goldie Goldstein joining us there. Steve, appreciate the time, man. How are you?
So hang on a second. Hey, Coach Harbaugh, come here. Hey, John. Okay. I'm with you now. I'm sorry.
Do you remember, Steve, you remember the last Harbaugh pursuit? Do you remember how weird that was?
You know, it's funny because I was working that day for CBS, you know, Miami, Channel 4. I worked part-time. And I was actually staked out on, what is it, 30, right? Southwest 30th off University, yeah. The old training facility, when the helicopter came in.
Oh, man.
So, yes, I remember it.
That was something. This is this loss last night, you know, they're coming off an excellent loss against the Avalanche. Last night, you know, it was a tough one. And not as angry as I've heard Paul Maurice, or perturbed as I've heard Paul Maurice after the game, what did you make of the performance and Paul's reaction to it?
Yeah, agree. You know, he's got such a good finger on the pulse. Look, this is new for everybody. I mean, you know, how many teams repeat, go back-to-back and three straight times getting there? So, you know, he's basically had the foot off the gas as far as really getting on guys, because he understands the situation. And, you know, last night you got an inordinate. You're up to seven guys out of the lineup without Jones. You know, and you can live with three or four. You start getting over five and six players out, it's really tough. It's, you know, it's like 40% of your team. But last night annoyed him because I thought, and obviously I'm assuming he thought, they really weren't ready to play the game. You know, Toronto had been playing well. It's a rival. It's starting a road trip. It's coming off, you know, a real big win over Colorado. And, you know, they just didn't play the way they didn't look the way they're supposed to look. He can live with losses, but it's got to look the way it's supposed to look. And, you know, Toronto was the better team in the effort level as far as the 50-50 battles. They won more of them. They had the better legs. So there's, you know, I trust the guy so completely as a head coach because he's done everything right since he stepped foot in South Florida, and he's got a great knack and his finger on the pulse of when to push, when to kind of say, hey, guys, not acceptable, and when to kind of, you know, just back off, which he has most of this season.
Yeah, and it's also a tough thing because it's like you earn that trust after, I mean, three straight trips to the Stanley Cup final. So it's hard ever when to know when, like, to worry as a fan or to just be like, well, they're the champs. Like, you got to just accept that. Like, how do you ride the wave of that? Because, like, you can only take so many. Even Marchand getting banged up last night. Like, you can only take so many where you're like, are they going to be able to dig out of this?
Right. Well, you know, the key is, you know, before last night, you felt pretty good. Half a season, you're on a 94-point pace, you know, without your guys. Hopefully those guys are coming back. And you're feeling like you're in pretty good shape. I mean, 3 years ago at this time, they were 9 points back. So, you know, that was before the game last night. You would have liked to get the win last night and start the road trip with a victory. But, you know, I just look at it personally as it is what it is. I mean, nobody has ever played. It's uncharted territories because no team has ever played as much hockey as these guys have right. Over the last 3 years. It's never happened. And then you go, and not only do you lose a ridiculous number of guys, but you lose the guy that, you know, if I'm starting, I know Connor McDavid, Nate McKinnon, Alexander Barkov's the one that's won the last two cups. So, you know, arguably, if you're starting a team in the league, the guy you're taking isn't even playing. So it's not just all role players that they're missing, Barkov and Tkachuk. So I thought they managed it pretty well. It's a matter of just kind of surviving, keep your head above water. And I think they've got a pretty good confidence that after the Olympic break, when they get most of their people back, you know, it's a team that, okay, if we're, you know, within 3 points or 4 points of a playoff spot, we're in pretty good shape. And as you know, it doesn't matter where they finish this particular team. In fact, in some ways, I think they'd rather finish lower and actually start on the road because they've had so much road success in the playoffs. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens tomorrow night. Montreal's a team that's kind of had their number for whatever reason, even though they kind of had the game won when they played a couple weeks ago at home. Yeah, and they let it get away.
That was crazy.
Yeah, crazy game.
I was happy to see Tarasov bounce back the way that he did, though, because that was incredible against Colorado. Because he had a shutout in hand, like, basically against the Canadiens, and it just slipped away.
Could not agree with you more in that second goal, the miscommunication behind the net. Could not agree with you more. And for a guy like him to come back against the Avalanche and play the way he did, and he's got McKinnon on the breakaway with 3 seconds left, I thought that was big. Since mid-October, they're 10-2-1 following a regulation loss. So they don't let things linger. They have a unique ability to snap right back. So I'm real curious to see how they come out tomorrow night.
So Matthew Tkachuk spoke this weekend, and he said he kind of alluded to maybe the end of the road trip, but I saw on your Twitter yesterday that he's out of the non-contact jersey. What's the buzz? Is there any chance it's early on the road trip? What do you think is the feel of when Tkachuk will be back?
Well, you know me. I'm like every other fan. Okay, you lost the game last night. You know, if you don't win tomorrow, get him in there on Saturday. You know, it's funny because it's a weird road trip, Tobin. The first part of it ends with game four in Buffalo on Monday. Then they've got 3 days off, and then the road trip kind of continues on Friday and Saturday. So, look, if he doesn't play in the next three games, you're really giving them like an extra 4 days off. They may elect to do that. I'm kind of joking. I don't think any results over the next 72 hours determine whether he plays either Saturday or Monday, or they wait until the following week. But, you know, the great news is it appears to be imminent that he will be back at some point very soon in the next handful of games.
And what do you think they're going to be missed? Obviously, he's great, but it's we haven't seen him since game six. So, like, what do you think that's going to just bring to them as a whole as far as balancing out the roster and obviously just the attitude that he brings?
Yeah, I think those two things are huge. He does those two things. And, you know, remember, we hadn't seen him in a long time before game one in Tampa last April. And what does he come in? You know, he bangs in two power play goals. Wasn't even probably close to 100%. Didn't play very much 5-on-5. And the guy just had a huge impact. And whatever percentage he was in the playoffs, he was at a point a game during the playoffs in need of surgery. So I think it's going to be a huge factor, you know, on the power play, which right now without Jones and without Barkov and Tkachuk has struggled a bit of late. He brings the stuff you talked about. And we also have to remember, you know, with all the stuff around his persona, which is a big part of it, the guy's a legit point a game guy or more. And to me, I'm fascinated because I think it's really the first time he's healthy since his first year as a Panther. Remember, he took the hit from Kolesar in the 23 final. Remember, he needed his brother to help him get out of bed to even play game four, and he needed help getting the skates on him. And the guy is just a true warrior and a gamer. And, you know, he was never really healthy, I don't think 100% since. So I think it's going to be a huge factor. And I just hope that as he comes back, no one else leaves the lineup. That's my hope.
Do you think, like, in all honesty, like, I understand he's so American. Matthew Tkachuk brushes his teeth with a bald eagle. Like, he is Mr. America. Is there any nerves about letting him go to the Olympics just because, and I know he's so private with it, but just, hey, like you said, this may be the first time they've had him fully, fully healthy, and now he's leaving your team.
Look, Tobin, you know, me, I'm a little old school on it. I don't care when guys play preseason football. We saw Barkov on day one get hurt in a drill with no contact. Anybody can get hurt anytime. You know, first of all, it's kind of a moot point because he's playing, and all these guys, if they can go, they're putting on the jersey for their country, whether we like it or not. In a perfect world, yeah, the only hockey that anybody would play, or the only games that any athlete in any sport would play, would be the ones for your team. But, you know, that's just not reality. So, you know, he's going to the Olympics. I think it's great as a hockey fan. And, you know, obviously, like you, we all root for the USA. Him and his brother being there is going to be awesome. And you hope he comes out of it and he's even in better shape. I don't know if he can gain any more confidence, but comes back a confident player like the rest of them, and he's ready to go. Look, this was a big topic last year in that Four Nations.
Yeah.
And not only did all those guys go and play, but Matthew actually got hurt and was out, and they still won the Stanley Cup, which is incredible.
On the Olympic topic, I felt terrible for Bennett. He seemed really bummed that he didn't make the roster. What the hell? How does the Conn Smythe Trophy winner not make the Canadian roster?
I mean, look, to me, it's silly. He was a big factor in them winning the Four Nations. And what did he do after that? Scored the most road playoff goals in the history of the NHL and in the playoffs. And as you said, won the Conn Smythe. So I don't get it. That guy's on my team, you know, 7 days a week, 24/7. You could read between the lines. You know, there's a few guys in the Lightning that made it. John Cooper is the coach. You know, if you're in his shoes, and we're not, so we disagree with it, but if you're in his shoes, you know, he's won with Anthony Cirelli and those guys. So he wanted those guys. And, you know, I'm not disparaging any other player. Nick Suzuki's having a terrific season for Montreal, but, you know, Team Canada made its choice. If it's me, I'm with you. That guy's on my team 24/7, 365. He did say yesterday, it was kind of unknown whether or not he was one of the alternates. So he did say yesterday in the locker room after the morning skate that he did get a text that he is an alternate. So there's still a chance he ends up going, because, as you know, there's still a month to go. And unfortunately, the way this sport is, you know, each team's probably going to have a couple injuries.
This, like, yeah, because I immediately went where I think a lot of people went. This is like, this feels like a petty maneuver by Lightning Panther bleeding into the Canadian national team. Because, goalie, like, when you're doing a Lightning game now, do you just expect, first of all, who the hell are they bringing up? And are you just expecting Royal Rumble every time that these teams square off?
You mean Oglethorpe from Slap Shop is being called? I mean, yeah, that Scott Sabourin thing of just calling guys up on game day. I don't really know what Tampa's trying to accomplish, except maybe the Panthers just so in their head from not only eliminating them the last 2 years, but, you know, some of the games were close, but winning 8 out of 10 is 8 out of 10. Both series only went 5 games. It is what it is. You know, I will say this. Before the Four Nations last year, you know, I spoke to John Cooper, and, you know, he told me, like, face-to-face, like, you know, he loves Sam Bennett, and he wants Sam Bennett on his team. He needs Sam Bennett on that team. So this is not just a flat-out case of John Cooper saying, I don't like that guy, I don't want him on my team, because last year he did want him on the Four Nations, and they did win it. So I'm not sure, you know, there's a GM, he's only the coach. Everybody has a say. I'm guessing the coach gets to pick a certain number of players, you know, that he definitely wants. There's a cap on that. And you had some other guys like Suzuki who are having good seasons. So I'm guessing it was kind of a numbers game. It would be great for the rivalry, as if we need any more in the rivalry, if John Cooper was shunning him. I really don't think that's the case.
Talking to Steve Goldstein, and you guys can catch him tomorrow on Randy Moeller as they broadcast Panthers and Canadiens, of course, as they continue their road trip. Before we get you out of here, Goldie, just getting back to Barkey. Matthew Tkachuk said he's a freak in the rehab. He was telling Eric Spoelstra back in training, I'm going to be back in 5 months. Have you seen him walking around? Is there any buzz on a freak recovery from Barkov? Anything on that at all?
Well, I was surprised at the Winter Classic practice on New Year's Day when he was out there. Now, he wasn't in uniform. He had the big, huge brace on his leg and on his knee. But he was on skates 3 months after reconstructive knee surgery. So it is encouraging. Look, this is such a wild card because, as you know, number one, from the team standpoint, the league has changed the rules. I'm sure you know this. You cannot be over the salary cap anymore in the playoffs. So if you're the Panthers and, you know, the trading deadline is literally 2 months away, do you make the determination that he can't come back and use his money? Do you make sure you save it? I think he's probably earned that.
Right.
If you know he's coming back for the first round, then you definitely don't use his money. If he, you know, under the cap, if he can't come back until, and I think kind of the latest or the average one was maybe the third round of the playoffs. Well, you got to first get to the third round of the playoffs in order for him to come back. So I think it's anywhere, honestly, from the end of the regular season, which is in April, to maybe the middle of May, and that was always the timetable. It's like a 6-week window, and obviously it makes a huge difference if he can play in the regular season, especially if you need those games to make the playoffs. So, you know, it's up in the air. They got to make a lot of decisions on it. But, yes, there's no doubt. If anybody can come back quicker, it's him. The guy is in incredible shape, and you know, 24/7, all he's doing, whether it's on the ice, in the gym, resting, whatever it is, all he's doing is the best that he could possibly do to come back as soon as he can. We definitely know that.
I love the grainy videos of him at a park, just seeming like he's doing like Tai Chi on his knee, just to, you know, whatever he can.
People are stalking him. I know. South Florida. Like, where was that? Was that up in Boca at a park? I don't even know.
I think so. It's on Panthers Reddit. Like, you just go and check it out. You can see all the grainy stalking photos of Barkey. Goldie, appreciate the time. Have a great broadcast and safe travels.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me. See you soon.
There you go. Steve Goldie Goldstein. Go check him out. Randy Moeller tomorrow. Panthers and Canadiens. They obviously do a fantastic job. Of course, your home of the Panthers right here on FM 104.3 WQAM. Doug Plagans, Billy Lindsay do a great job on the radio. The Cats will be back tomorrow taking on Montreal. We'll take a break. More to come here on the show. We're back after this. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Brittany with us here today. We got Canes action tomorrow. The Fiesta Bowl. I have so much guacamole for tomorrow's game. Cannot wait. Canes.
Are you gonna have you're gonna have themed food?
Yes. I think I may. What do you refer to somebody? You ever go to Rocco's Tacos? What do they refer to the person who makes the guac there? Is that a avocado shucker? I don't know what they like. I know when you go to like a seafood restaurant and you have conch, like they shuck the conch, like ting, 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 and they do the oysters, right? They shuck oysters. Like, what do you call somebody who just makes the guac? Is that person referred to as an avocado shucker?
I don't know. I think you've really made. I don't think there's a name for it.
That guy doesn't have a name?
I really don't think he does.
Guess as a guacaneer.
A guacaneer, guacologist. You can.
I love guacologist from Evan 11. That's great.
Yeah, guacologist is a good one. We'll go with that.
That is a tremendous.
So you're going to become a guacologist tomorrow?
I am going to be a guacologist getting ready for it because I am going to watch the now. Hopefully, I'm not. Because it's going to be a hungover show on Friday, hopefully. Probably either way.
Well, either way,
I'll either drink my sadness in tequila or I will celebrate with tequila.
I'll just have like tears streaming down my face during the Miami Heat post game show.
They're like, Brittany, you're getting very emotional for the Heat beating the Bulls. the Wolves lost. So tough.
So good to see them bounce back. These are tears of joy.
Shmeet Inchmoly says, well, he'll sure as hell never become a treadmillologist. You just couldn't help yourself, nope. Could you, Shmeet? You're just really a bastard. I was alerted to this during the break by Stunt and Steve. There's a press conference that apparently just wrapped up in Arizona, and the mayor of Tempe has gifted the coaches a fruit basket. And, well, how do you imagine that would have gone with giving Mario Cristobal a gift right now?
I would have to imagine there was a very smug look on his face.
You would be, well, I don't know about smug, but he looks like he has no time for this fruit basket that the mayor has presented with him, because if you could notice here how much he seems to hate this fruit basket that has been given to him. I'm looking at a tweet from Jordan McPherson, covers the Canes for the Miami Herald, and it's, you know, you have Pete Golding, the interim coach of Ole Miss, who looks quite delighted with his giant fruit basket.
He seems absolutely thrilled.
He's happy to have his fruit basket. And then you have Mario, who looks like he wants to throw this fruit basket right into the mayor's face.
That's bad.
Because he has zero time for gifts right now, because the only thing he wants to gift is an ass-kicking to Ole Miss. He has zero time for that gift.
That is the best photo I've ever seen.
He is pissed.
He's locked in.
He's like, there are no time for gifts when we are doing football. When football is happening, no gifts. I mean, that scowl
And Golding is just thrilled. Like, he couldn't be happier.
He's so happy that the mayor, you know, he's like, I never thought, I never get gifts. You know, Lane Kiffin always got the gifts. Sometimes I get leftover gifts, but I have this gift of this giant fruit basket, and he seems, what's in that fruit basket? What's he got? He's got, looks like some hot sauce, some coffee.
So would it be considered a fruit basket? I was thinking actual fruit here.
Yeah, maybe more like a gift basket. Maybe that's the better term for it. But
I see, like, it looks like lotion. I don't even know.
I mean, this
chocolate?
The look on Mario Cristobal's face, if you guys are listening to us, like the mayor farted next to him. That is that is the look of disgust he has right now, because he's so focused on football right now. Like, he's like, there's a picture that Will Manso tweeted out where he's getting it and the guy is speaking, and Mario Cristobal just could be like, he couldn't be any less thrilled with being presented with any kind of pleasantry.
Yeah, he's
not. Looking at him like, you're not football. And I know that I know that Coach Golding behind that basket, I can't see his face in this picture, but I know that he's cheesing and he's trying to be happy.
Just throw.
And Mario Cristobal is just like, nope.
Absolutely not. I'm throwing this in the trash as soon as I get out of
here. Yeah, I have no interest in this.
That's amazing. I mean, he was the same smug look that he had when he went face-to-face with Ryan Day at the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, that's true.
When they had their press conference.
The stare down. Well, Mario does seem to love boxing and fighting. He seems to love the stare down of it, the machismo of it.
Yeah.
Tate South says, you know what's in Mario's basket? Doof.
No.
Yeah, that's it. Here you go, Mario.
I think he would have been happier with air.
I think if anybody's trying that at the next bowl game, not that I'm looking ahead, you might want to just give Mario a basket of nothing. Just give him a handshake. You know, that's what Mario cares about. Just a firm handshake and welcome here. But the mayor's giving him gifts. That's not what he's about. He is right now singing. And imagine, like, you know who's, like, Dawson will take the gift basket. Because imagine he's going to try and give the gift basket to Heatherman, and he's like, and Heatherman's just going to stare at it.
I would love to see the photo of Heatherman receiving a gift basket. That would be the photo of all photos.
It's a basket full of rawhide. Like, this is crazy. Why would you try that?
Oh,
it's
man.
Like, oh, that looked like a nice... He's like, oh. And multiple people are pointing out, like, man, he looks... On social media, like, people are starting to notice, like, wow, he looks really, really unhappy getting any kind of a gift from this committee.
You know that mayor is going to go home, lay his head down on his pillow tonight and be like, what was I thinking?
Yeah, why did,
like,
I do that?
This is so embarrassing.
You don't think, like, Mr. Mayor. Don't give it to Mario. Pipe down, Todd the intern. You don't know what you're talking about. I don't think he's going to like it.
And that's the thing.
And this is the thing. Oh, great. Did you get a key to the city? No. The dude gave me a basket of Tabasco.
There's like a hydro flask in there. I'm like dissecting the actual gift basket.
Yeah, what do we got? Yeah, we got like a thermos. Oh, no. So you did mention the lotion.
Yeah, it looks like a lotion bottle there, doesn't it?
He's never lotioned.
Very odd. Very odd.
Mario Cristobal, he lotions his hands with Hands in the Dirt. That's what he does. What's the moisturizer, Mario? Gridiron. Like, he has no... Why would he give him that? There's no point. He's focused on the biggest game of his life.
Of his career.
And you're just sitting here and you're like, oh, would you guys like a nice little trinket? No!
He's like, what is this? What are they? Are you mocking me right now? Are you trying to get me? He's going to go in the hype speech before the game is going to be like, and the mayor gave me a gift basket. So we're going to embarrass everyone out on this field now.
I think he's going to stomp on that basket after beating Ole Miss. Like, he's going to put it in the middle of the locker room and he's going to ask Reuben Bain to, like, put it in a suplex. Just like, throw this, Reuben, whatever you want to do. And Golding's so happy. He's just like, this is
he's
great.
He's just happy to be there.
I'm going to give this to the missus. He's already thinking about it. I'm going to give this to the missus. This is nice. I got all types of things here, you know? You think Mario Cristobal just goes like, here, take mine.
Yeah. I would be like, do you want mine?
Yeah, take mine.
Let me tell you.
Or he just leaves it.
Oh my gosh, someone should stay past the press conference to see if he leaves, because he absolutely would do that. And then Golding, like, goes back and he's like, grabs it. He, like, sneakily grabs it. He's like, someone should give me this before Christmas. I could re-gift it.
He's just so disturbed by anything here. I cannot wait.
Oh, don't even break. I get, like, goosebumps thinking about it.
Like, when they go to these interviews, too, and he's just like, Mario, what are your thoughts? Violence. Thank you, Mario. Thank you, Coach. All right, back to you guys. Like, those interviews, I don't understand why they have to do those interviews anyway. Like, even as a media member, like, I appreciate the access. I really do not see the purpose in interviewing the college coach literally right before the game starts.
Yeah.
I don't know what are you thinking right now? And I don't even know whoever thought that was a good idea, because it seems like we're just getting more of it. And I'm like, why are we getting this? This doesn't in the middle of the game, fine. I don't understand why we do it right before kickoff.
I was
very strange.
No, I was going to say, my favorite interviews that I just are perplex me are the halftime interviews when the team is down and you go and talk to the coach whose team is down. It's like, what are you doing? What are you expecting the answer to be other than just like annoyance? Same thing with like pregame. I get it. But I mean, it's the day before. You know, you got some media obligations that you have to uphold.
Even I'm looking at some of these photos where he's standing next to the trophy. And once again, like Golding, pleasant. Just, you know, this is nice. Nice photo op. Mario Cristobal, ready to punch this guy in the face. Ready to punch him right in the face. You know? It's insane. He's so mad.
He's so angry.
Why am I here? Why am I hobnobbing right now? I don't want to hobnob. I want to coach.
Oh, you could just tell he came from the Saban tree of coaching by that look.
He's just like, yeah, he needs to get this out of his system. He needs to go hit a blocking sled or something like that.
He calls all the guys. He's like, we're actually going to practice today.
I need practice. You know, and what we're going to hit today is a fruit basket I was just given. And that's going to, you're going to imagine that as all of the Rebels.
Yes.
Crazy. I mean, this guy is a maniac.
He's insane.
Absolutely a maniac. If it goes, it's a waste of time. This is an audacity to give me this fruit basket.
Like, that's the every single thing that's going through his mind at that moment. And the mayor's just like, here you go.
Yeah, I don't think he wants any celebrations until it's the celebration. I really don't.
No, I agree. And it's crazy how that mask comes off with him because the intensity he carries out before the game, and then once they win, it's like he's joking about like Cubans on ESPN with Nick Saban the day after, and you're just like, wait, who's this guy? Is this the same guy they gave a fruit basket to?
Guy says, could you imagine a conversation with Mike McDaniel, Mario Cristobal, and how fast Mario would just get up and walk away?
I would pay so much money to see that.
This is what would happen if Mario Chris. This is the difference between the two of them. Is like, oh, if Mike McDaniel was given a fruit basket at some kind of committee.
I'm a big snack time guy.
he's going to be delighted.
Yeah, he would be thrilled. He would talk about it in his post game call. He's like, did you guys see the fruit basket that I received?
This is delightful. You know, look at this. I got all kinds of. What is this? Is that Dubai chocolate?
Is this a Hydro Flask?
This is amazing.
This is great. And the, I, you know what? A media member needs to go out on the limb and take one for the team and ask him about the fruit basket.
When's he, like, so, yeah, you think Joe can ask him about that?
Can we get Joe
to ask him, why were you so upset about the fruit basket?
We should ask Joe. when he comes back from the Fiesta Bowl, ask Joe to be like, so what were your real thoughts?
I bet
about
you he's
that?
Just like, what fruit basket? Like, he doesn't even remember.
He's
it.
Like, I don't even know what you're
he's
saying.
Like, I blacked out. What, I'm just so furious right now because it's not football. But Mike McDaniel, that dude would love a fruit basket.
He would,
no doubt in my mind. It's crazy. I cannot wait though. Tomorrow, 7:30. Brian Monroe is going to join us next hour. We will talk a little Miami Hurricanes with him. You guys will hear him tomorrow on Countdown to Kickoff starting at 3. And we'll get into that as well. Miami Heat, they lose last night to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And that didn't go so great. And you want to talk about pissed off. Spo was pissed off afterwards. Tyler Hero sounds pretty pissed off to be coming off the bench again. As he made his return, first time in 11 games, his seventh game of the season. They got embarrassed. I mean, it was an utter ass kicking that they handed in. And honestly, the thing that was rough about it is like they just kind of got throttled by all the bigs. Because Ant-Man played good. He played good, but it wasn't like a primo Ant-Man game. They got their butts kicked by Naz Reid again. Julius Randle started hitting a prayer. They went on this 3-point run at the end of the third quarter. And Bam stunk. Bam stunk. Wiggins stunk. Ware stunk. They all stunk. And then everybody was missing layups. It was just an awful, awful performance. And it ruined my experience because I was so excited because it was on NBC, and you got to see the Peacock out there, and you got the Round Ball Rock. I was so excited for Round Ball Rock for the first time. You know, it was going to be Heat basketball, and they all got the big intros, and I was like, this is amazing. I cannot wait to hear what we got going on. and all I got was just one good quarter, and this was ruined for me. That's all. That's it.
You're giving me PTSD. Do you know how many times I had to hear and play that yesterday?
It's the greatest sports music
it's
of all time.
It is, but it's supposed to bring joy and nostalgia. It didn't. It just was painful. You're down by 20, and I'm here playing a rejoin.
You guys played it every time?
No, we played it with Sots, and then we played it at the very beginning of the broadcast. But every Sot had it under. So we're down by like 20, and they're
like, "You guys know you're not NBC, right?"
That's what I was thinking. This I you're was like, not. Are NBC. We even allowed to play this?
Well, I think that maybe not, but you're not in, like, I don't know, whatever. Who cares? Anyway, we'll take a break. If you guys didn't hear last night, I want to get into this because Eric Spoelstra, quite frosty. Tyler Herro, quite frosty. After the game, after the Heat got their butts kicked. Get to that coming up next.